Every bad choice you regret started with unclear thinking. Fix your thinking and your life starts to change. Most people don't know how much their thinking is holding them back. They wake up with a heavy mind, make quick decisions, say yes to things they don't mean, and end the day feeling frustrated. It's not because they're lazy or broken. It's because no one ever taught them how to slow down, clear their head, and think better. Clear thinking is a skill, one that can save you years of stress, wasted time, and regret. It helps you make smarter choices, stay calm under pressure, and finally take control of your direction. This audiobook will teach you how to do exactly that. You'll learn how to manage your thoughts, protect your focus, and make decisions that actually move your life forward. If you've been feeling confused, tired, or stuck, this is your wake-up call. Your clarity starts right here. Chapter 1. Stop overthinking and take action on one thing. You know, one of the biggest reasons people stay stuck in life is not because they don't have the talent or the opportunity. It's because they keep overthinking everything. They run the same thoughts in circles in their minds. They play every scenario, every outcome, every risk. And while they're doing that, time is passing. Days are moving, the world is shifting, and they're standing still. People who think clearly are not those who have fewer thoughts. No, they are the ones who know how to guide those thoughts. They understand when thinking is useful and when it's holding them back. The truth is, too much thinking is just fear in disguise. It's fear of making the wrong move, fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of change. So, the mind says, keep thinking about it, figure out everything first. But what ends up happening is nothing. Nothing gets done. I've seen people with all the answers on paper, all the logic lined up, and still they do nothing. Why? Because they keep overthinking. They wait for the perfect moment. They wait until every piece of information is available. They wait until they feel absolutely sure. But life doesn't work that way. Clear thinking isn't about having no doubt. It's about moving forward with what you know now and dealing with what you learn along the way. You want clarity? Start doing. The first action brings clarity. The second action brings feedback. And the third? That builds momentum. The more you act, the more you learn. And the more you learn, the better you think. Not the other way around. When you sit alone, lying in bed, scrolling endlessly, trying to plan every detail in your mind before doing anything, that's not clarity. That's delay. That's noise. That's confusion pretending to be preparation. And most of the time, people aren't overthinking because the problem is complicated. They're overthinking because they don't want to make a mistake. But you can't grow if you don't try. You can't learn if you don't take a step. Even if the first step is small, even if it's awkward, even if it's not perfect, take it anyway. You can fix a wrong decision. You can adjust your direction. But you can't fix being frozen. You can't improve a choice that was never made. And you can't succeed at something you never began. The brain loves comfort, it loves safety, and it will do anything to keep you away from discomfort. Overthinking is its way of protecting you, but what it's really doing is locking you into hesitation. And hesitation, when it becomes a habit, turns into a life of missed chances, missed opportunities, missed experiences. And those things, they hurt far more than a wrong step ever could. Now think of this, one good decision today, just one, can change everything. One step forward in the right direction might feel small, but it starts a path. One phone call, one conversation, one email, one new habit. That's all it takes to start seeing clearly again. Your mind becomes sharper when it's engaged, when it's doing something that matters. That's when thoughts become organized. That's when you stop overthinking and start solving. People don't need more time to think. They need more courage to begin. They need to believe that it's okay not to know everything, that it's okay to fail once or twice, that it's okay to start small, because the person who starts small with consistency always outpaces the person waiting to be perfect. There's something powerful about movement. When you do something, even if it's not flawless, you feel it. Your energy changes. Your thoughts get clearer, your direction sharpens. But when you sit in hesitation too long, your energy drops, your mind gets cloudy, you begin to doubt yourself more, not less. The longer you wait, the heavier the step becomes. So how do you stop overthinking? You pick one thing. What if you asked, not five, not ten, one? Something that matters to your life right now, something you've been putting off, and you say, I will do this today. No excuses, no second guessing, you just do it. And when that's done, you do the next thing. You build a system of small steps. And step by step, your thinking starts to clear up, because now you're not just thinking, you're living. You're experiencing. You're learning from the real world. That's where the best clarity comes from, not from mental puzzles, but from real action. I always say, action breeds direction. You don't need a 10-year plan to move forward. You need one choice. And that choice should be something that breaks the cycle of overthinking. Something that puts you back in control. You want to feel better? Move your body. You want answers? Ask the question out loud. You want results? Do the thing today. Clear thinking is not found in sitting quietly hoping for clarity to drop from the sky. It's earned through progress, one day at a time. You don't need permission to start. You don't need every detail solved. You just need to believe that thinking clearly doesn't come from thinking more. It comes from acting smarter. Here's the truth. Most of your stress isn't caused by what's happening. It's caused by how long you've been avoiding it. That delay fills your mind with stories, and those stories wear you out. But once you take action, those stories vanish. You realize the problem wasn't as big as you made it, or maybe it was. But now you're in motion. Now you're moving. And when you're moving, you're strong. You're clear. You're alive. You don't need to be fearless, you just need to be willing. Willing to start. Willing to try. Willing to fail. Willing to fix. That's how better decisions are made. That's how you start thinking clearly again. Not through waiting, not through worrying, through action. So here's your challenge. What's the one thing you know you need to do but haven't done yet? Do it today. Not because someone told you, not because you feel fully ready. Do it because you want your mind back, because you want to trust your own decisions again, because you want peace. And peace comes from doing what you said you would do. Action builds trust with yourself. Every time you follow through, your brain gets the message, I'm someone who handles life. I'm someone who gets things done. And that message, that belief, is where clear thinking starts. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be fast. You just have to start. One action, one change, one decision made right now can reset your entire direction. And from there, the rest gets easier. Not easy, but easier. Because you've shown yourself what's possible, you've built momentum. And once you have that, you no longer need to ask, how do I stop overthinking? You'll already know the answer. You stop overthinking by doing the thing. That's how people rise, that's how people grow, and that's how people learn to think clearly and make better decisions. By doing what matters now. Chapter 2. Clean your environment to clear your mental state. Most people don't realize how much their environment is controlling their thoughts. They wake up in the same cluttered space, surrounded by unfinished tasks, old reminders, and endless distractions, and then they wonder why their mind feels heavy, why they can't focus, why they feel tired even when they haven't done anything yet. The truth is, your environment speaks to you all day long, and if you don't manage it, it will manage you. When your room is messy, your head becomes noisy. When your desk is covered with things you haven't dealt with, your brain doesn't rest. It keeps scanning everything you see. And without knowing it, your mental energy is being pulled in all directions. That's why it feels hard to concentrate. That's why your motivation fades. It's not always because you're lazy or undisciplined. Sometimes it's because your environment is draining you quietly, day by day. Mental clarity is not only about what you think, it's also about what you see, hear, and feel around you. You can have the best ideas in your head, but if you're surrounded by chaos, those ideas won't flow. They get blocked, they lose strength, and you start to feel stuck, like something's holding you back, but you can't explain what it is. One of the simplest but most powerful things you can do to think clearly is to clean your space, not as a chore, not just to be neat, but as a mental reset. When you pick something up and put it where it belongs, you're not just clearing a table. You're telling your brain, "I'm in control." When you throw away what you no longer need, you're making space, not just physically but mentally. Your environment reflects what you tolerate. If you accept clutter, confusion, and noise in your space, you start to accept it in your thinking too. But when you raise the standard in your surroundings, your thinking starts to rise with it. You become sharper, you become more decisive, you feel lighter, not just because the room is clean, but because your mind finally has space to breathe. Think about it. How do you feel when you walk into a clean room? You feel calm, you feel clear, you feel ready. That's not an accident. That's your brain responding to order. And when your surroundings are in order, your mind doesn't have to fight through the noise to get to what matters. Start small. Clean one surface. Organize one drawer. Throw out what you haven't used in months. Don't wait until you feel like it. Start doing it to change how you feel. Because every time you clean your space, you're training your brain to focus, you're building discipline. You're creating an environment that supports your growth instead of fighting it. And it's not just about physical clutter. It's also about what you keep around you that no longer serves your direction. Look at your wall. Look at your screen. Look at the things you see every day. Do they help you grow? Do they remind you of your goals? Or do they pull you backward into things you should have let go of a long time ago? The people you allow into your space matter too. If you're always around noise, gossip, negativity, don't be surprised if your thinking becomes reactive and unclear. Protect your environment like you protect your peace, because what you allow in will shape what comes out of you. If your environment is full of things that don't align with your values, don't expect your actions to align either. And this goes deeper than just cleaning a desk or deleting a few files. It's about building a system around you that helps you think better every day. Set up a space where you can focus. Put your phone out of sight when you need to concentrate. Turn off the sounds that interrupt your thoughts. Create routines that make your day feel structured. You don't need luxury. You need clarity. People underestimate the power of simplicity. Clear space leads to a clear routine. A clear routine leads to a clear mind. And a clear mind, that leads to strong decisions. That leads to confidence. That leads to forward movement. Most of the time, when people feel lost, it's not because they have no direction. It's because they're surrounded by distractions pulling them in every direction. You've got to stop letting your space work against you. If every time you sit down to work you feel overwhelmed, something needs to change. If your room feels like a storage unit, your thoughts will get stored away too. You don't need everything you've collected over the years. You need space for what actually matters now. And don't wait for the perfect moment to clean things up. That moment doesn't come. You create it by deciding enough is enough. Take ownership of your space. Make it reflect who you're becoming, not who you used to be. You don't need to have everything figured out to start. You just need to get rid of what's blocking your mental energy. There is something powerful about walking into a space you've cleaned with your own hands. It makes you feel like you've reset your thinking. It gives you a fresh start. Without needing to leave or escape, when your surroundings match the direction you want to go, everything becomes easier. You stop wasting energy. You stop doubting your next step. You start focusing on what's right in front of you. And that focus? That's where clarity lives. That's where real decisions are made, not from pressure, but from peace. A peaceful environment doesn't mean silence. It means your surroundings don't pull your attention away from what you choose to do. It means you control the space, not the other way around. Some people want to change their life, but they won't even clean their room. They want to build a future, but they leave their past lying all around them. You can't carry old clutter into a new chapter. You've got to release it. You've got to create space for new thinking, new decisions, new habits. It starts with ownership. This is your space. This is your mind. This is your future. And it's your job to protect all three. No one else will do it for you. And no one else is responsible for the environment you allow to shape you. So what can you do today? Pick one area. Clear it out. Throw out what's unnecessary. Reorganize what matters. Put structure where there was disorder. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to support your focus. Because once your mind sees that your space is aligned, your thinking begins to follow. You'll start making faster decisions. You'll stop second-guessing simple tasks. You'll feel more energy, not because you suddenly became a new person, but because you removed what was in the way of the person you've always been. Clarity is not a gift, it's a result. It comes when your life stops pulling your mind in 10 directions. It comes when you decide that peace is not just an emotion, it's a standard. And when you live by that standard, everything starts to change. Control your environment, and you begin to control your thoughts. Control your thoughts, and you begin to control your decisions. Control your decisions, and you start creating the life you actually want, not the one that's been forced on you. That's how it starts. That's how it builds. One choice, one space, one moment of clarity, and from there, you move.
Chapter 3. Say no more often to protect your headspace. Most people don't realize how often they say yes when they really want to say no. They say yes to avoid conflict. They say yes because they don't want to disappoint someone. They say yes because they feel guilty for putting themselves first. But every yes that doesn't come from a clear and honest place is a quiet step away from peace. It's one more thing added to your schedule. One more demand on your energy, one more voice in your mind that doesn't belong there. Protecting your headspace doesn't start with changing your routine. It starts with setting boundaries. It starts with learning to say no firmly, calmly, and without apology. Saying no is not about being cold or selfish. It's about knowing what matters to you and refusing to trade your focus for approval. Every time you agree to something that doesn't serve you, you're giving away a piece of your mental clarity. And once that becomes a habit, your days fill up with things that don't bring you value, and your thoughts follow the same path. Clarity requires space, and space is not given, it's made. You create it by saying no to what doesn't align with your priorities. You don't owe everyone access to your time. You don't have to explain yourself to people who are only asking for what benefits them. Your time and your attention are limited, and once they're gone, you don't get them back. You must guard them like they matter, because they do. People lose their mental strength, not because they don't work hard, but because they spend their energy in too many directions. They say yes to extra work, unneeded favors, last-minute requests, endless conversations, unnecessary drama. They carry everyone's weight, and then wonder why they feel drained by the middle of the day. It's not weakness, it's lack of boundaries, and the way you fix that is not by working harder, it's by protecting your space more. When you say no to the things that distract you, your mind starts to breathe again. You have fewer decisions to make, less pressure, more time to think, more time to do the things that matter to you. That's where clear thinking starts, not when you're overbooked and overwhelmed, but when you feel in charge of your own time. You don't have to be rude to protect yourself, you just have to be honest. If something doesn't fit your goals or values, it's okay to say no. You don't have to lie or make excuses, you can simply say, I can't take that on right now, or that doesn't work for me. That's enough. You don't have to carry the weight of other people's emotions just because they asked for your time. And this isn't just about work, it's about your personal life too. There are conversations you don't need to have. There are events you don't need to attend. There are arguments you don't need to step into. Not everything needs your energy. Not everyone deserves your attention. Learning to say no is learning to protect your mental health. It's learning to value your peace more than someone else's temporary approval. People might not like it, they might question you, they might get upset. But remember this, their reaction is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to yourself, to your mind, to your goals. If you say yes to everything, you're saying no to yourself. And the more often you do that, the more distant you feel from your own direction. Clarity starts when you become intentional. You start asking, does this need my attention? You stop responding out of guilt. You stop rushing into commitments. You take a moment to think before you speak. And when you realize something isn't right for you, you turn it down without regret. That's strength. That's awareness. That's self-respect. Think about how many things are in your life right now that you didn't really want. Think about the obligations you said yes to out of pressure. Think about the time you've given to things you didn't believe in. That's the cost of not saying no. And every time you feel frustrated, overwhelmed, scattered, it's often because you're not living your day the way you want to. You're living it the way others expect you to. When you say no, you're not closing doors, you're opening the right ones. You're making room for better choices. You're making space for deeper work, for real rest, for meaningful progress. You're taking back control over your time, which is the foundation of thinking clearly and making strong decisions. It's not easy at first, especially if you're used to pleasing others, especially if you've built your worth around being available. But clarity doesn't come from being available to everyone. It comes from being available to yourself. And to do that, you have to disappoint some people. You have to let go of the need to be liked by everyone. Because if you keep trying to make everyone else happy, you'll lose your own sense of peace. Start small. Say no to something minor. Notice how it feels. You might feel nervous at first. You might feel like you've let someone down. But you'll also feel lighter. You'll feel a little more in control. And once you feel that power, you'll want more of it. You'll begin to see that your time is a limited resource, and you'll start spending it like it matters. You won't need to escape your life to find peace. You'll find peace by creating a life that doesn't drain you. And that life begins when you say no to the things that don't serve you. Clear thinking demands protection. You can't focus when your attention is always pulled away. You can't solve problems when you're always caught in things that don't matter to your long-term growth. You can't feel strong when you keep bending to everyone else's needs before your own. You have to create space, not just in your schedule, but in your mind. And that space is created with boundaries. People may not understand it. Some may take it personally. But the people who truly respect you will adjust, and the people who don't were never meant to shape your life in the first place. Your responsibility is not to please everyone. It's to think clearly, act with purpose, and build a life that reflects your values. So be bold, be honest. Say no more often. Say it when you're tired. Say it when you're unsure. Say it when your gut tells you this is not the right thing. Not because you want to be difficult, but because you want to stay clear. Because you value your energy. Because you understand that saying no is not rejection. It's protection. That's how people rise. That's how people grow strong. That's how people think with clarity. Not by doing more, but by doing what matters, and cutting the rest. It all starts with a choice. The next time you're asked for something that doesn't align with who you are or where you're going, say no. Not later. Not after thinking about it for hours. Say no and stand by it. You'll find your thoughts getting sharper. You'll feel more balanced. You'll have more room to think, to plan, to live. And that clarity, it's yours to protect. Every single day.
Chapter 4. Take 5 quiet minutes before making any choice. Most people make decisions while their mind is full. Full of pressure. Full of outside opinions. Full of noise. And when the mind is full, clarity disappears. You react instead of respond. You rush instead of think. You decide from emotion, not from truth. That's how regret begins. That's how you end up saying yes when you meant no. That's how you pick the wrong path because you never gave your mind a chance to breathe. The smartest decisions are rarely made in a rush. They're made in stillness, in quiet, in a moment when everything slows down and you ask yourself, what's really right for me? But in today's world, most people skip that step. They get a message and feel pressure to reply immediately. They're asked for something and say yes before even thinking. They follow habits, not wisdom. And slowly, their decisions stop reflecting who they are. One of the most powerful habits you can build is learning to pause. Just 5 quiet minutes. Not scrolling. Not talking. Not solving. Just sitting still and thinking clearly. 5 minutes to step away from pressure. 5 minutes to ask better questions. 5 minutes to listen to your own mind before anyone else speaks into it. It might sound simple, but this habit can change everything. Those 5 minutes are not about doing nothing. They are about doing something powerful, something most people avoid. They are about checking in with yourself, about creating space between the event and your response. In that space, you gain control. You can choose how to act instead of being dragged by the moment. You can separate truth from noise, emotion from logic, fear from facts. There's a difference between reacting and responding. Reactions are instant and automatic. Responses are intentional and informed. The space between those two is created in silence. When you give yourself those 5 minutes, you slow down your racing thoughts. You let the emotional wave pass. You allow clarity to rise to the surface. You're not ignoring the decision. You're preparing to handle it the right way. We live in a world that celebrates fast answers. Instant replies. Quick judgments. But quick doesn't always mean wise. And speed without awareness leads to mistakes. It's not weak to slow down. It's smart.
It shows strength to say, "Give me a moment, I want to think this through." And those who respect you will respect that pause. Those who pressure you don't care about your clarity. They care about your compliance. Think about how many choices you've made on the spot and later regretted. It didn't feel wrong at the time, but looking back, you know you didn't take the time to think clearly. You felt rushed. You felt the need to please. Or you were too tired to process properly. That's the cost of not pausing, and that cost builds over time. Now imagine if you took just 5 minutes before those key decisions. You would have noticed your own hesitation. You would have heard the voice in your head saying, "This doesn't feel right." You would have chosen from awareness, not pressure. You don't need hours to make better decisions. You just need space. And 5 quiet minutes is enough to shift everything. In those minutes, ask yourself honest questions. Why do I feel pulled in this direction? Am I doing this out of fear or confidence? What would my future self want me to do? These are the kinds of questions that don't show up when you're rushing. They show up when you slow down and let your mind catch up with your heart. Use this time to breathe. Real deep breathing. The kind that grounds you in the moment. The kind that calms your nerves and clears your head. Because your nervous system plays a big role in your decisions. When you're tense, your mind races. When you're calm, your judgment improves. 5 minutes of silence can bring you back to balance. This habit is even more important in emotional moments. When someone says something that upsets you. When an offer sounds too good to be true. When you feel triggered and want to react, that's the moment to pause. Not to suppress what you feel, but to sort through it, to separate the emotion from the message, to respond from clarity, not from impulse. 5 minutes of silence before you speak can save you 5 days of regret. It can prevent conflict. It can save your energy. It can help you see what matters and what doesn't. Most situations don't require an immediate answer. They require a better one. And the better one comes when you pause. You don't need a special room to do this. You don't need to light a candle or play calming music. You just need to step away. Put your phone down, sit in silence, close your eyes if it helps, and ask yourself, "What do I really want from this?" That alone can shift your direction. Even during busy days, this habit is possible. Take 5 minutes. Before an important call. Take 5 minutes. Before you send that message. Take 5 minutes. Before you agree to something new. It's not wasted time. It's protected thinking. It's choosing peace over pressure. It's building a mind that doesn't react. It responds over time. This becomes natural. You won't need to force it. Your body will start to recognize when you need that pause. Your mind will seek the quiet instead of the noise, and you'll start making decisions that actually align with your values. That feel right not just in the moment, but in the days that follow. This practice also builds confidence. When you stop rushing, you start trusting. You trust your own thoughts. You trust your ability to wait before acting. You no longer feel pulled in 10 directions. You feel steady. And that steadiness is rare in a world full of chaos. This habit also teaches you something important. Not everything needs a response. Some things lose their power when you don't react. Some decisions become obvious when you give them space. And some problems are not even problems once your mind is quiet. You learn to respond with strength. Not stress. You give your thoughts time to settle. And when they do, the answer often becomes clear without force. That's what thinking clearly really means. It's not about knowing everything. It's about creating space for the right thing to show up. It's easy to follow the world's pace. To move fast. To answer now. to decide under pressure. But if you want to lead your own life, you have to slow it down. You have to build habits that support clear thinking. And this one, taking 5 quiet minutes, might be the most powerful of all. You'll start noticing what feels right and what feels wrong. You'll start making choices that reflect your growth, not your fear. You'll stop reacting and start directing, all because you chose to pause. So give yourself that time, not once, but every time a real decision is in front of you. Give yourself permission to be quiet, to reflect, to think. Because in that quiet, your true voice gets louder. And that voice, the one that comes after stillness, is the one worth listening to. That's the voice that leads you to a better decision. That's the voice that keeps your mind clear. And that's the voice that builds the life you truly want.
Chapter 5. Notice what triggers stress and remove it fast. Stress doesn't come out of nowhere. It has a source. It has a trigger. And if you don't take the time to notice where it's coming from, it starts controlling your thoughts, your mood, and your decisions without you even realizing it. Most people carry stress like it's normal. They call it a busy life. They say they're just tired. They think it's part of success. But what they don't see is that unmanaged stress slowly clouds the mind. It makes small problems feel bigger. It makes simple decisions feel heavy. And if you let it sit too long, it starts shaping how you live. The first step to thinking clearly is becoming aware of what makes you tense. You don't have to figure it all out at once, but you do have to start paying attention. You have to be honest with yourself. What drains you? What throws off your focus? What situations make your heart race and your mind panic? Stress is not just about pressure, it's about your reaction to it. And the quicker you recognize that something is pulling you off track, the faster you can get back in control. You have to become a watcher of your own life. Don't just move through your day mindlessly. Observe how you feel when you're around certain people. Notice how your body reacts when you read certain messages. Pay attention to the thoughts that keep returning and the tasks you always avoid. These aren't just random moments. These are clues. Your stress is leaving signs, and the sooner you follow them, the sooner you reclaim your peace. Stress doesn't always come from big events. Sometimes it comes from repeated small moments. A cluttered space, a demanding relationship, a task you keep delaying, a commitment you never wanted to take on. Over time, these things build pressure inside you, not loud enough to scream, but strong enough to distract. And most people don't even realize how much these small stress points are shaping their attitude, their sleep, and their ability to make clear choices. The key is not just noticing stress, but removing the source before it grows. Don't wait until it explodes. Don't wait until you're too tired to deal with it. If something is constantly bothering you, take action. If a conversation keeps bothering your mind, have it. If a task keeps sitting on your list, finish it. If a person keeps crossing your boundaries, speak up or step away. This isn't about being aggressive, it's about protecting your mind. There are people who carry stress for years and wonder why they feel disconnected from their goals. They think they need motivation, but what they really need is clarity. And clarity doesn't live where stress is fed. If you want to think better, you have to live better. That means you don't ignore discomfort. You don't push stress to the side. You look at it directly and say, "What can I do about this right now?" The longer you ignore what's stressing you, the more it takes from you. It takes your sleep. It takes your focus. It takes your energy. And most importantly, it takes your ability to make good decisions. You start reacting instead of leading. You start chasing instead of choosing. And all of it could have been avoided if you had slowed down and paid attention to what was bothering you in the first place. Sometimes the stress is in your schedule.
You've taken on too much. You've filled your calendar without checking your capacity. You wake up and you're already behind. If that's the case, you need to stop saying yes out of habit. You need to step back and remove what's not urgent. You need to understand that not everything deserves your time, and you're allowed to protect your time without guilt. Other times the stress is in your relationship. Someone close to you constantly brings negativity, drama or guilt. You feel drained after every interaction. You keep giving, but it never feels like enough. That kind of stress is not just emotional, it's mental weight, and if you don't address it, it becomes part of your daily experience. You don't need to cut everyone out, but you do need to set clear lines. You have to decide what energy you will and won't accept in your life. Stress can also come from your own mind, expectations you put on yourself, standards that aren't realistic, comparing your life to others, trying to prove yourself constantly. If that's where your stress lives, you need to reset your thinking. You need to ask yourself who you're trying to impress. You need to remind yourself that peace doesn't come from meeting every outside expectation. It comes from being honest about what matters to you and letting go of what doesn't. Stress multiplies when you pretend it's not there, when you ignore it, when you act like you can handle it all. You can't think clearly when your nervous system is always activated. You can't plan your future when your present feels like survival. You need space. You need balance. You need honesty, not just with others, but with yourself. Start by writing down what's been bothering you lately. Don't filter it. Don't judge it. Just get it out of your head and onto the page. Then go through that list and ask, what can I change right now? Even small steps make a big difference. Make the call. Send the message. Cancel what's unnecessary. Clean the space. Walk away from what drains you. Take action, not just awareness. The more you practice removing stress at the root, the more power you take back. You stop waiting for a break. You stop blaming your environment. You stop feeling stuck. Because you realize that you have more control than you thought. You may not control every situation, but you control how long you stay in one that breaks you down. And don't wait for the perfect time to address stress. That time doesn't come. You deal with it now, while it's small, because once it builds up, it becomes harder to move through. The best time to remove stress is the moment you feel it begin. Not later, not tomorrow, now. Train your mind to respond quickly. Not with panic, but with action. You'll notice something powerful when you start doing this. Your mind becomes quieter. Your decisions become clearer. Your energy starts coming back. You're not exhausted by mid-afternoon. You stop needing constant distractions to cope. You feel more connected to your day. And most importantly, you start thinking like someone who's in control, not just reacting to whatever shows up. Stress management is not about escaping life. It's about building a life that supports your mental clarity. It's about refusing to carry weight that doesn't belong to you. It's about seeing a problem and dealing with it before it becomes your normal. Because once it becomes your normal, it takes everything with it. So pay attention. Notice what triggers stress. Don't pretend. Don't hide from it. Trace it. Understand it. Then remove it with speed and strength. Because the more you do that, the more you create a life where clear thinking is natural, not forced. A life where your mind works for you, not against you. That's how you protect your peace. That's how you make better decisions. That's how you move forward without burning out, one step at a time, one clear action after another. Until stress no longer runs your mind and you do. Chapter 6. Speak your thoughts out loud to hear the truth. Most people walk around with a head full of thoughts that never leave their mind. They replay ideas, doubts, worries, plans, all silently. And the problem with silent thinking is that it can lie to you without you knowing it. When you only think inside your head, the thoughts start to blend. They move fast. They loop around. They hide from logic. They sound convincing even when they don't make sense. And over time, they build pressure. They create confusion. They steal your peace. But something powerful happens when you speak your thoughts out loud. When you say the words with your own voice, things change. You hear them differently. You catch the flaws. You notice what's unclear. And most importantly, you start to separate truth from emotion. Because when something sounds right in your head, but wrong when spoken, that's your signal. That's your chance to fix it. That's the moment you begin thinking clearly again. You don't have to speak to a crowd. You don't even need another person. Just speak to yourself. In the car, in your room, on a walk, wherever you are, speak your thoughts out loud, like you're explaining them to someone who wants the truth. Say what's bothering you. Say what you're unsure about. Say what you're trying to decide. You'll feel the weight shift as the words leave your mind and enter the open air. This is not about being dramatic or loud. It's about being real. When you hear your own voice process your thoughts, your mind gets structure. Your emotions get sorted. The tension begins to release, and clarity begins to grow. The noise in your head starts to quiet down because now you're facing the thought, not just holding it. Too many people hold stress inside because they never give it a way out. They think and think and think, but they never verbalize. And because of that, they can't see their blind spots. They can't notice their own patterns. They get stuck thinking they're being rational when they're really just repeating an old fear or assumption. Speaking out loud gives you space to challenge that. You begin to say things like, "Wait, that's not actually true," or "That's just something I assumed, not something I know." And once you realize that, you get your power back. You get to rewrite the thought. You get to ask better questions. You get to step back from the automatic reaction and make a new choice. Sometimes the thought is simple, but you've been afraid to face it. Saying it out loud makes it real, but it also makes it manageable. You no longer feel like you're drowning in uncertainty. You've pulled the thought out, looked at it, and now you can do something with it. That's real power. That's what clear thinking looks like in real life. You'll also start to notice when you're repeating yourself. When you speak the same thought again and again, it's often a sign that you haven't fully dealt with it. Your mind is looped. But once you say it out loud and walk through the logic, you break the loop. You make room for new thinking. You stop carrying old noise and start building new clarity. Some of the best decisions come after one honest conversation with yourself. Not writing. Not thinking. Speaking. Give yourself permission to process in real time. You hear your energy. You catch the emotion. You become aware of your tone. And these things matter, because how you say something reflects how deeply you believe it. If you say it with hesitation, you learn something about your doubt. If you say it with force, you feel your conviction. Speaking reveals what thinking alone can't, and this practice helps with focus too. When your mind is scattered, try saying your priorities out loud. "Today I'm doing this, this, and this." That's it. Now your mind has direction. It stops floating from task to task. You've spoken a line for your day, and it sticks better than writing it. Because your voice carries weight. It's your mind telling itself what matters. Speaking also brings out the emotional truth. A thought might feel small when silent, but once you say it, you realize how deeply it affects you. Maybe it's pain you've been pushing down. Maybe it's a fear you haven't faced. Maybe it's something you've avoided for years. But when you speak it, you connect to it. And from there you can begin to understand it. To heal from it. To change it. This is not about over-talking. It's not about rehearsing your worries all day. It's about using your voice as a mirror. When you speak your thoughts, you reflect them. You give yourself a chance to understand them before they become actions. You create space between thinking and doing, and in that space, better choices are made. You don't have to share everything with other people to do this, but if you have someone you trust, someone who listens, not just responds, it can help even more. Sometimes, just the act of saying something to another person helps you find your answer. You hear your own logic, you spot your own weakness, you walk away with more clarity than you had before. But even if no one's around, don't keep everything inside. Speak to yourself with respect, with honesty, with curiosity. Ask, why do I keep thinking this way? Ask, what am I really afraid of? Ask, what's the outcome I want here? Your own voice becomes a tool for clarity, not just noise, but guidance. And over time, this builds confidence. You start trusting your ability to handle what you think. You're no longer afraid of your own mind. You're not hiding from your thoughts. You're managing them. You're leading them. And that's how people grow stronger mentally. If you feel overwhelmed, confused, stuck, try this. Go somewhere private. Stand or sit. Speak out loud. Describe what you're feeling. Walk yourself through it, like you're helping a friend. Be honest. Be patient. Don't judge what comes out. Just listen to your own voice. You'll hear something you didn't hear in silence, and that might be the answer you've been waiting for. You don't need a perfect solution. You just need movement, and speaking creates that. It turns mental fog into mental focus. It takes scattered thoughts and turns them into steps, one word at a time, one sentence after another, until your mind feels lighter, your emotions feel understood, and your next action becomes clear. You don't have to carry every thought in silence. You don't have to pretend you've got it all sorted out in your head. You just need to release it, to speak it, to process it in the open, even if the only one listening is you. That's how real clarity begins. That's how strong decisions are made, not just through thinking, but through speaking, through hearing yourself, through facing the truth out loud, and doing something about it. Chapter 7. Cut down screen time to sharpen your thinking. There was a time when people had long stretches of quiet, time to think, time to reflect, time to process what was going on in their lives. Today that time is gone for most people. The moment there's silence, they reach for a screen. The second they feel uncomfortable, bored or restless, they look for distraction. And what feels like a small habit becomes a trap that dulls the mind and weakens the ability to think clearly. You can't expect your brain to work well when it's always reacting. You can't expect strong decisions from a mind that never rests. If you want to sharpen your thinking, you have to cut down how often you're glued to a screen. Every scroll, every click, every notification demands your attention. Even when you're not aware of it, your brain is processing every image, every headline, every sound. It doesn't have time to breathe. And when the brain doesn't get time to reset, your thoughts become shallow. You start jumping from one thing to the next. You lose focus. You lose patience. You start thinking in fragments instead of full ideas. The mind was not designed to absorb that much noise. When you're always consuming, your brain is always on. But being on doesn't mean being productive. It often means you're constantly distracted, and distraction kills depth. You might think you're multitasking, but what you're really doing is spreading your focus so thin that none of it works properly. And without focus, there is no real clarity. Most people check their phone first thing in the morning, before they even drink water, before they talk to anyone, before they take a breath and decide what matters today. And the moment they do that, their thoughts are no longer their own. They're reacting to someone else's world, someone else's thoughts, someone else's energy. That becomes the starting point of their day, and it shapes every decision they make after. When you spend most of your time looking at screens, your attention span shortens. You get used to fast content, fast answers, fast stimulation. You lose the ability to sit with something, to think deeply, to focus on one task without switching. And then you wonder why you can't finish what you start, why you feel restless, even when nothing's wrong, why your mind feels tired, even after doing nothing physical. It's because your attention is fractured. The solution isn't to throw away technology, it's to take control of how you use it. It's to take control of how you use it. It's to create limits. Not because you're weak, but because you're wise enough to protect your mental energy. You don't need to be reachable every minute. You don't need to scroll for hours to relax. You don't need to check every notification the second it comes in. You need to be present. You need to give your mind time to settle. Start by being honest about your screen habits. How much time do you spend looking at your phone? How often do you check your messages without even realizing it? How many times do you interrupt your focus because of something that didn't really matter? This awareness is the first step. You can't change what you won't face. Once you see the pattern, you can start building a new one. Set screen-free times during your day. Maybe it's the first hour after you wake up. Maybe it's the last hour before you sleep. Give yourself a break from the flood of input. Use that time to think, to read, to write, to walk, to plan. Use it to reconnect with your own thoughts. You'll be surprised how much more you hear from yourself when the outside noise is quiet. When you cut down screen time, you start noticing things you used to miss. You notice how your body feels. You notice where your thoughts tend to go. You notice what you've been avoiding. And that awareness gives you power. You're not just running through life on autopilot anymore. You're present. You're awake. You're able to make choices with intention instead of reacting to whatever pops up next. Clear thinking requires space, and screens fill up that space without asking. Every time you check your phone out of habit, you're choosing reaction over reflection. And every time you choose reflection instead, you sharpen your ability to think. You give your brain the room it needs to go deeper, to ask better questions, to notice better answers. This also affects your memory. Constant screen use makes your brain lazy. It stops trying to remember because it knows you'll just check your phone again. You start relying on reminders, notifications, search engines, and slowly, your natural thinking muscles weaken. But when you spend more time off screen, your memory strengthens, your thinking becomes clearer, your creativity grows, you start solving problems in your head again, you start trusting your own mind more than the next piece of content. Reducing screen time also improves your emotional stability. Constant digital input often keeps you in a state of low anxiety. You're always watching, comparing, reacting. Even when you don't notice it, your emotions are being pulled in 10 directions, and that emotional noise makes it harder to make calm, confident decisions. When you take a break from screens, you calm your nervous system, you lower your stress, you come back to your own center. And from that center, you make stronger choices. There's nothing wrong with using technology, but there's something deeply wrong with letting it use you. And that's what happens when you're always plugged in. You stop thinking for yourself. You stop listening to your own intuition. You start living through a lens that doesn't belong to you. Start taking small steps. Turn off notifications you don't need. Keep your phone in another room during focused work. Give yourself time without any screens at all. Go outside. Write with a pen and paper. Sit in silence and think. Have conversations without your phone on the table. These small choices create big shifts. They help you rebuild your ability to think clearly. They help you remember what it's like to be fully engaged with your own mind. Over time, you'll notice a difference. You'll start finishing what you start. You'll stop forgetting what you meant to do. You'll find it easier to make decisions without second-guessing. Your sleep will improve. Your stress will drop. You'll feel more in control of your day instead of being pulled around by apps, messages, and notifications. Most people don't need more information. They need more attention, more presence, more clarity. And that clarity starts by cutting down what keeps pulling your mind away. You don't need to disconnect from the world, but you do need to reconnect with your own thoughts. And that only happens when you stop flooding your brain with more than it can hold. A sharp mind is not built through endless stimulation. It's built through depth, through focus, through space. If you want to think better, you have to choose better habits. And one of the most important is taking control of your screen time. Not because someone told you to, but because you value your mind enough to protect it. This isn't about restriction. It's about freedom. The freedom to think clearly, to feel calm, to make decisions you trust, to live your day without constant interruption. That kind of freedom doesn't come from an app. It comes from your own discipline, your own choices. And the more you practice it, the sharper your thinking becomes. You don't have to do it all at once, but start today. Start with one less hour on your phone, one more hour with your own thoughts. That's how clarity begins. That's how your mind gets stronger, one moment at a time, one clear decision after another, until your thinking feels like your own again, and your life starts to reflect that.
Chapter 8. Ask why before you say yes to anything. Most people say yes too quickly. They agree to things before they understand what they're agreeing to. They accept invitations, take on tasks, make promises, and commit to things without pausing to ask one of the most important questions in life. Why? That one word, why, can change everything. It gives you space to think. It gives you the power to understand your motives. It helps you avoid the trap of saying yes out of habit, guilt, fear, or pressure. If you want to make better decisions and protect your time, energy, and peace of mind, you must learn to ask why before you say yes to anything. Saying yes might feel easier in the moment. It feels polite. It avoids conflict. It makes you feel needed. But over time, too many yeses create a life that isn't really yours. You look around and realize you're doing things that don't matter to you. You feel stretched thin, disconnected, overwhelmed. You wake up with a full calendar, but an empty sense of purpose. That happens when you keep giving your yes to things without thinking them through. Every yes you give is a no to something else. You're always trading time. You're always spending your energy somewhere. And if you don't ask why, you don't notice what you're giving up. You don't see the hidden cost. You don't realize that your mental focus, your time with loved ones, your rest, your goals, they're all being pushed aside every time you say yes without reason. You have to build a habit of pausing before responding. Not just to big requests, to everything. Someone asks for your time, ask why. Someone offers an opportunity, ask why. Someone expects something from you, ask why. That question doesn't mean you don't care. It means you care enough to be thoughtful. It means you're not just living on autopilot. You're checking if your actions match your values. When you ask why, you start noticing patterns. You might see that you say yes to avoid judgment, or to feel important, or because you're afraid of missing out. These are emotional triggers, not logical reasons. And if you don't recognize them, they will guide your decisions quietly. You'll keep saying yes to things that leave you drained or distracted, all while thinking you're doing the right thing. But when you stop and ask, "Why am I doing this?" you give yourself a chance to reset. Maybe the answer is clear.
It supports your purpose. It helps someone you love. It aligns with your goals. Then your yes is strong. But if the answer is vague or uncomfortable, that's a red flag. Maybe you're doing it for approval. Maybe you feel guilty saying no. Maybe it's not your responsibility at all. Asking why shines a light on all of that. This habit also protects your relationships. When you say yes out of pressure, you eventually feel resentment. You do things half-heartedly. You burn out. You blame others for your own lack of boundaries. But when you ask why first, you're honest with yourself and others. You give what you can, not what you feel forced to. And the people in your life begin to respect your time more when they see you respect it yourself. You also grow in confidence. When you're clear on why you're doing something, you stop second-guessing. You don't get pulled in 10 directions. You don't overcommit. You choose with purpose. That purpose gives you clarity. And that clarity gives you peace. People often think they need to be more productive, but what they really need is to be more selective. Being busy is not the goal. Being intentional is. And that starts by asking the right question before committing to anything. Why am I doing this? What's the real reason behind my yes? Is this helping or hurting my long-term focus? Sometimes the answer is surprising. You realize you've been saying yes just to avoid discomfort. You've been agreeing to stay liked. You've been accepting out of fear. And seeing that clearly gives you a chance to grow. You can break that pattern. You can start choosing from truth instead of fear. And that shift transforms the way you live. It also brings your goals back into focus. When you say yes to everything, you don't have time for the things that matter. Your vision gets blurry. Your direction fades. But when you slow down and ask why, you align your choices with your goals again. You stop chasing what looks good and start building what feels right. You stop reacting to requests and start responding with purpose. This doesn't mean you say no to everything. It means your yes becomes meaningful. When you say yes, it's backed by thought, awareness and intention. It's not rushed. It's not forced. It's chosen. That kind of yes leads to fulfillment, not frustration. It leads to progress, not regret. The world is full of noise, demands, offers, distraction, people pulling at you from every direction. If you don't protect your clarity, you lose it. And the way you protect it is by asking why. Before you agree to give your time, your energy or your attention to anything, that one habit sets a standard for how you live. It also teaches others how to treat you. When you're clear about your boundaries, others become clear about them too. They stop assuming. They stop taking advantage. They begin to ask with more respect, because they know you're not someone who says yes without thought. That respect is earned by the way you show up for yourself. This kind of thinking also builds leadership. People trust those who make decisions with intention. They follow those who don't just go along with everything. They respect those who choose with depth. And if you want to lead at work, in your family, in your own life, you have to become someone who asks why first. Make this a personal standard. Don't let urgency or pressure make your decisions for you. Take a breath. Give yourself space. Ask the question that brings your mind back into focus. Why? What's the purpose here? What's the cost? What's the return? And if the answer doesn't feel right, give yourself permission to say no. Not because you're selfish, but because you're serious about your direction. Serious about your peace. Serious about not wasting energy on things that pull you away from the life you're building. Your clarity is your responsibility. No one else will guard it for you. No one else knows what matters to you like you do. and no one else will face the consequences of your yes. Only you, so take it seriously. Ask why, and then answer with honesty. That habit will save you from unnecessary stress. It will keep you on track. It will help you build a life that reflects your values, not other people's expectations. One yes at a time. One decision after another. That's how a clear mind is built. That's how you protect your path and move forward with strength and purpose.
Chapter 9. Make space in your day just to reflect. In today's world, people are constantly in motion. Wake up, check the phone, rush through breakfast, respond to messages, jump into tasks, take calls, meet deadlines, scroll through updates, and by the end of the day, the mind is exhausted, but nothing feels clear. Most are busy from morning until night, but few are actually connected to what they're doing. The truth is, most people are so consumed with doing that they forget to think about why they're doing it at all. They don't pause, they don't reflect, and that's why they often feel lost, even when everything seems to be moving forward. Without reflection, action becomes mindless, and a mind without space can't think clearly. You can have all the routines, all the productivity tools, all the goals written down, but if you never stop and look at where you're heading, you end up chasing results that don't actually matter to you. Making space in your day to reflect isn't a luxury, it's a requirement if you want to think clearly and make decisions that come from self-awareness rather than pressure or habit. Reflection is the habit of asking yourself real questions. It's the space where growth happens. It's where you begin to understand your choices instead of repeating them blindly. It's where you connect the dots, face your patterns, learn from mistakes, and find out what's working and what isn't. It doesn't require hours. It doesn't need a journal full of perfect words. All it needs is a few quiet minutes and your full honesty. When you reflect, you take back control of your mind. You shift from reacting to your day to leading it. You're not just crossing things off a list, you're learning from your experience. That learning creates clarity. That clarity fuels better thinking, and better thinking leads to smarter actions. This is the chain that creates long-term success and peace of mind. But it starts with something simple, making time. You have to make the space. It doesn't show up on its own. The world won't give it to you. Everyone wants your time, your attention, your energy. If you don't protect a small part of the day for yourself, it will get filled with distractions. And once that space is gone, your thoughts never get organized. Your feelings stay bottled. Your progress becomes disconnected from your purpose. One of the smartest things you can do is step away for a few minutes each day, not to check out but to check in. Ask yourself how you're really doing, what's bothering you, what's pulling your attention, what did you do today that felt right, what didn't sit well with you, where are you putting your energy and is it paying off? These questions don't need complicated answers, they just need your attention. When you reflect, you give your brain a chance to process. And most people skip this step. They just move from one thing to the next, hoping everything makes sense eventually. But it doesn't. It gets messier. It builds mental pressure. It creates confusion. And then people wonder why they can't focus, or why they keep making the same mistakes. It's not a mystery. It's the result of never slowing down to think. Reflection isn't overthinking. It's not sitting in self-doubt, it's not replaying the past with regret, it's examining your experience, with intention. It's choosing to be aware. You're asking yourself, what did I learn today? What do I want to do differently tomorrow? That habit alone can stop you from repeating years of bad decisions. That habit helps you grow faster than hustle ever will.
It's easy to think that more action equals more progress. But without reflection, action becomes repetition. You work hard, but you don't move forward. You stay busy, but you feel stuck. When you give yourself a chance to pause, you can notice things. You might realize you're spending too much time on things that don't matter. You might see that a relationship is draining you. You might notice that something small is actually bringing you a lot of joy. Without reflection, those insights never arrive. Thinking clearly requires clean space, not just on your calendar, but in your mind. If your thoughts are always buried under tasks, noise and movement, your clarity stays buried too. But when you make a habit of stepping back, the mental fog begins to lift. You start seeing your day for what it really is. You see what you did well. You see what needs work. And most importantly, you reconnect with yourself. This practice builds emotional strength too. When you reflect, you feel your own emotions more clearly. You begin to understand what triggers your stress, what lifts your mood, and what drains your spirit. You don't need anyone else to explain it to you. You start knowing yourself better, and that self-awareness changes the way you speak, the way you respond, and the way you handle hard days. The benefit of reflection doesn't come instantly. It builds with consistency. You have to commit to it, even if it feels small, even if you're tired, even if your day feels too full. The return is huge, because it keeps you from drifting. It keeps you from getting lost in the noise of life. It brings you back to what matters. Create a routine that includes space for thinking. Maybe it's at the end of your workday. Maybe it's during a walk. Maybe it's just before you go to sleep. But make it consistent. Make it your time to slow down, to sit with your day, to ask yourself what you learned and what needs to change. No judgment, just honesty. You'll start seeing patterns. You'll notice what you keep avoiding. You'll become aware of the thoughts that keep coming back. You'll see where your time is going. And once you see that clearly, you can adjust. You can make better choices tomorrow, because you took the time to understand today. A strong mind isn't just one that works hard. It's one that knows when to stop, listen, and think. And you don't need silence or solitude for hours. You just need a few minutes of your full attention. That's enough to bring your awareness back. That's enough to reconnect with your goals. That's enough to guide you back to clarity. You don't reflect to look perfect. You reflect to stay real. You reflect to keep learning. You reflect to make sure your actions match your values. If you skip that, you risk building a life that looks right on the outside but feels wrong on the inside. That's not success. That's disconnection. And it's avoidable. The world rewards speed. But your mind needs stillness. Even short stillness. It needs that pause to process, to grow, to sharpen. Give yourself that gift. Even 10 minutes a day can reset your whole mindset. You'll feel more grounded. You'll feel more confident in your next step. You'll stop guessing and start knowing. Reflection doesn't make you slower. It makes you sharper. It saves you time in the long run. Because you're not just reacting. You're leading. You're not repeating. You're improving. That's the difference between being busy and being wise. So make space in your day, no matter how full it feels. That space is not empty. It's full of answers, full of insight, full of direction. And it's yours if you're willing to claim it. That's how clarity begins. That's how smart decisions are made. That's how a strong, focused life is built, from the inside out. One quiet moment at a time. Chapter 10. Decide based on what helps your future self. Most people make decisions based on how they feel right now. They choose what's easier in the moment, what feels comfortable, what gives quick relief. But comfort now often leads to regret later. The truth is, your future is built by the small decisions you make today, and every time you choose the easy way out, you leave your future self with the consequences. You have to start making choices that benefit the version of you that's still becoming, the version that will wake up 6 months from now, either thankful or disappointed, depending on what you do today. When you decide based on what helps your future self, everything changes. You stop chasing what's fast and start building what lasts. You stop reacting emotionally and start choosing with purpose. You begin to think beyond the next hour or the next day. You begin to ask better questions. Questions like, will this help me grow? Will this bring me closer to the life I want? Will this give me strength, knowledge, or discipline? Or is this just another delay dressed as relief? The reason most people feel stuck is not because they're unlucky or incapable. It's because they keep choosing comfort today at the expense of progress tomorrow. They say yes to short-term pleasure without thinking about the long-term cost. They avoid the hard work. They postpone the important decisions. They keep saying just this once, and suddenly years have passed with little to show for it. But you can break that cycle, and it starts with one habit, thinking of your future self every time you make a choice. Picture the version of you you want to become. The one who's healthy, disciplined, confident, focused, financially stable, respected, calm, fulfilled. That version of you isn't just a fantasy, it's a result of the actions you take repeatedly. That version is either being built or neglected every single day. When you say no to distractions and yes to discipline, that version grows. When you stop pleasing people and start following your own values, that version grows. When you stay consistent even when it's hard, that version gets stronger. It's not about being perfect, it's about choosing the right direction over and over again. You don't need to change your whole life overnight. You just need to ask the right question before you act. What will this choice do for the person I'm becoming? That one question adds awareness. It brings your future into your present, and when your future is part of the decision, your choices become more powerful. Every moment is a vote for who you want to become, or a vote for who you're trying to move away from. Skipping the workout, that's a vote against your health. Spending recklessly, that's a vote against financial peace. Saying yes to distractions, that's a vote against deep focus. But doing the hard thing even when you don't feel like it, that's a vote for discipline. Holding yourself accountable when no one is watching, that's a vote for character. Saying no when it would be easier to say yes, that's a vote for self-respect. Your future self needs you to be strong now. It needs you to protect your time, guard your energy, and stop doing things just because they feel good in the moment. That strength is built in the small choices. Choosing to read instead of scroll. Choosing to save instead of spend. Choosing to rest with purpose instead of avoid what matters. These things don't seem big at first, but they add up, and over time they build a life you're proud of. People often wait for motivation. They say, I'll do better when I feel ready. But your future self isn't waiting. Time is moving whether you take it seriously or not. The years will pass, and the only question that matters is, did you use them well? Did you act like someone who's serious about their future? Or did you keep doing what was convenient and easy? You have to train yourself to look ahead, to think beyond your current mood, to delay pleasure for something greater. That's not sacrifice, it's investment. You're investing in a stronger mind, in a better life, in more freedom, more options, more peace. You're doing for yourself what no one else can do. That's power. That's responsibility, and that's how you build real clarity. Sometimes, it's uncomfortable, sometimes you'll feel torn. The old habits will pull at you. The old excuses will try to come back, but you remind yourself, this isn't just about now. This is about where I'm going. This is about not waking up 5 years from now, wishing I had taken my choices more seriously. You don't need perfect discipline. You need purpose. You need to remember who you're doing this for, and the answer is you. This kind of thinking makes life simpler. You stop being confused about what to do. You stop wasting time on things that don't matter. You start saying no with confidence. You start working even when no one notices. You start showing up because you're building something. And that something is you. Not for approval. Not for likes. Not for praise. For growth. For strength. For freedom. The future version of you is counting on you to take this seriously. To stop quitting when it gets uncomfortable. To stop chasing shortcuts. To stop letting today's mood shape tomorrow's reality. You owe it to yourself to decide with purpose, to do the work even when it's boring, to hold the line even when it's not exciting, because that's how greatness is built, one clear choice at a time. When life gets noisy, this habit will keep you grounded. It will remind you to tune out the pressure, the opinions, the trends, and tune in to what truly matters. You're not here to live like everyone else. You're here to become the best version of yourself, and that takes a higher standard. Not in theory, but in practice. And practice happens every day. You don't need to know exactly where you'll end up. You just need to know the difference between what builds you and what breaks you. And if a decision builds you, it's worth making. Even if it's hard. Even if no one understands. Even if it takes time, especially if it takes time, because the best things always do. Make decisions that leave you proud, that leave you grateful you didn't take the easy way out, that remind you you're capable of more. That's what thinking clearly really is. It's not about having all the answers. It's about choosing from a place of truth, from a place of vision, from a place that sees the value in discipline. And patience. You don't rise by accident. You rise by choice. Not big dramatic ones, but small steady ones. Every time you act with your future self in mind, you're moving closer. Every time you choose growth over comfort, you're becoming someone stronger. That's how a solid life is built. That's how a clear mind is developed. That's how success starts. Not in one moment, but in many moments of choosing the right thing when it's hard. So the next time you face a decision, big or small, pause and ask yourself, does this help the person I want to be? If the answer is no, let it go. If the answer is yes, follow through with all your focus. That's the mindset that separates those who stay stuck from those who build a life they're proud of. That's how you create real change. By doing today what your future self will thank you for, every single time.